Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for giving this opportunity once again to come in your presence through this live streaming and also to those who are in the church. Greetings to you from in Jesus' name. Our God is a good God. And I want to thank God for leading us as a church, protecting us every day under his wings. Today, when Pastor said to me to speak, there was one thing which came into my mind. I was reading the Bible and there was a verse which came and really struck me. So today we are going to read that verse and meditate what the Lord has to speak to us. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. I will read it in English. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. O Lord, we thank you, Lord Father, for giving us, Lord, this time and this opportunity, O Lord, to come to your presence, O Lord, as we, Lord Master, Lord, gather and listen to your word. Let your presence, Lord, be with us. Let the Holy Spirit minister to us, Lord Jesus. Speak to each and every one of us, Lord Father. Lord, help me also to expound the word according to your plan and your will, Lord. Lord Jesus, lead us, Lord. Cover me under your cross and you lead. Thank you, Father, for everything. Take the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here, let me read the verse again. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can read here, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look into the context of this verse, Jesus is saying, why, in the third verse it says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? And then he says, he comes to this point, and the seventh verse he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, the eighth verse that we read, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. We as human beings have the same experience even as believers. Many times, we don't really mean what we talk, or we don't really think what we do. We do many things as a routine. We do many things as a practice of tradition. We honor our God with mouth, but sometimes even with our lips, but our heart is very far from the Lord. Last week, Joshua was saying how to care for our souls. How it is so important during this time. As you know, during this pandemic, we are going to have ups and downs in our life. But what is here the Bible is saying to us? They draw near with their mouths. They come close with their actions, but their heart is very far from God. But the Bible also says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So is it wrong to show us by action? Is it wrong that we do something by action and does it not please God? That's the question. The question is there, even though our actions may seem to be good, what is the intent of those actions is what God sees. God is seeing how our intent is, how our heart is more than our actions. We may all, this is what is a problem. Like many, many of us, it's easy to act like a saint. It's easy to act as a righteous man, especially we Christians. Once we think we are Christians, we are Pentecostals, it's very easy that we put on a different garment and try to portray ourselves as super holy people. But how our heart is before the Lord. So today, the Bible says, when you read here, it says like this, it is not that which goes into the mouth that corrupts a person, but that which comes out of the person. In other words, whatever is in your heart would make you to do or will bring out the truth one day. So we can see it is not mere repetitions or words that could satisfy God, but having a heart which is true and sincere is what would satisfy God. For instance, let us, when you read the Bible, you can see Eli, the priest. He was a man of God. He was supposed to hear the voice of God. But what happened in his life, instead of he hearing the voice of God, we can see that Samuel heard the voice of God. Samuel was a small boy, but he was sincere there. He was dedicated to the work of God. He was willing to do the work that he was given to. And as a result, what happened is Samuel heard the voice of God instead of Eli. So you can see that God is not pleased. Eli used to serve in the temple. Eli used to go and do sacrifices. Eli and his sons, you can see. But God was not happy with those sacrifices. God was not happy with those things which are done as a ritual, but God spoke through Samuel. Today also, God is not pleased with our actions alone, but God is looking at our heart. God doesn't want us to be a hypocrite, but God wants us to be sincere from the heart. So today we are going to see the heart that God accepts. What is the heart which God accepts? I prepared this message even before Friday evening. I prepared the message. And one of the points which is going to coincide with the message on Friday, if you had listened to Pastor's message. But I know it's certainly the Holy Spirit which gave the message. That's why there's a little bit of coincidence. But what is the heart that God accepts? First, we can see God accepts a heart of repentance. When you read the Bible, you can see that no man is holy. Bible states like this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God expects us to have a heart that repents. I'm going to take two examples for each point that I'm going to speak today. A heart of repentance. The first thing when you tell about repentance comes to our mind is the life of David. So let us turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and we will read verse 1 and 2. So 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1 and 2. I will read it to you. It happened in the spring of the year. At the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So here you can see there is an instance. The instance is David, that was a time of war. David had to go to war, but David is at Jerusalem. He was sleeping, and what he did is he got up and walked on the roof of his house. And that time he saw a beautiful woman. And what happened is, you all know the story, that he fell into sin, he committed adultery, and that in turn led to murder. So what do we learn from this? If David had gone to the war, that sin could have been avoided. He got distracted when he walked onto the roof of the house. How many times this is so similar in our lives? How many times are we distracted from the will of God? How many times are we distracted because of the other things which come into our lives? For instance, including me, I say, when we take the Bible, your phone will ring, or your phone notification would come on the Facebook. Oh, you'll get interested in that and you go to that. And after a moment, you will know that you spent 15 minutes on that before reading the word. This is a common thing that the devil tries to put in our lives. So distraction is a dangerous thing. It can occur to everybody and to anybody. In our Christian life, this distraction can lead us to lose our focus in our Christian life. The distraction can lead us to go away from the goal in Christian life. That is what happened in the life of David. If David was sincere there, he would have been in the army. He would have been directing what should have been done. What are the strategies for the war? But instead, what he was doing is completely different. He went up and started walking around. And as a result, the sin came into his life. Today, how is our life there? Are we being distracted by the things of this world? What is our distractions in our life which is taking us away from the Lord? You and I have to think about it. And you and I have to know, is that leading us into sin? Is it leading us into a relationship which is taking us into a relationship which takes us away from Christ? That is what you and I have to think about. The Lord is speaking to us. If it is so, it is better you put away those distractions. Then our relation, I'm not saying that you should take away all social media. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, if it distracts your relationship with God, be it anything in this world, let it be put aside for the glory of God, so that our relationship with Christ will be focused and we will lead a victorious Christian life. So what we can see here is, we should understand David had a fall there. But when David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, when Nathan the prophet came and said to him, what did he do is, he repented before God. He fell down before God. He cried because he knew that what he did was worthy of death. He knew what he did was worthy that he should not be alive, he knew. So as a result, you can see when David repented, there was a consequence for his sin. Or you can see when you read the 2 Samuel chapter 12, the remaining part, you can see there were consequences. But certainly God delivered him. God had mercy on him. God did not put him away, we can see. Even in our Christian life, you can have ups and downs. It is impossible for us to lead a perfect life. But what God wants us is, when we repent at his presence, when we fall down at his presence, when we cry out unto him, what will happen is, he will give grace from above. That is what Romans chapter 5 verse 21 says. When we repent, there is more grace from Jesus. When you turn away from sin, what will happen is, the grace of the Lord will encompass us, and as a result, we will become more like his image. When we repent and when we turn genuinely from the evil, from the sin, we can see that we become more like his image. That is what I'm coming to say. A heart of repentance will make you more like his image. Today, do you want to become more like Jesus? What you should do is, you should repent in your life. Repent of the distractions that come in your life. Repent the things that are being an obstacle which is in your relationship with Christ. When you do it, what will happen is, God, you will become more like his image. Let us take one more example in the Bible. We can see the life of Samson. Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, you can see a beautiful example. One is the life of Samson. Samson was a man, was a Nazarite. He was called to redeem the people of Israel. But what happened in Samson's life? Samson also faltered in his life. Samson went according to his way. He revealed the secret of his strength to a stranger. And as a result, you can see that Samson lost his strength. And Samson's life became very miserable. But what happened is, you can see his life became so miserable because they took out his eyes. They gouged his eyes out and he was left in the prison to do work, you can see. What a pathetic sight you can see. A man who was supposed to be the redeemer of Israel, the man who was supposed to lead Israel into victory, but is now in the prison with his eyes no more. But what did Samson do? When you read the Bible, when you read the 21st verse, it says, okay, the 21st verse says like this, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. So here you can see, even though he had lost his strength, even though he became very weak, the hair on his head began to grow. And you can see when he continues to read, you can see in the 28th verse, you can see Samson again praying to the Lord. In the 28th verse, he says, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. So here you can see, Samson is repenting. He made a mistake, he knew. He paid the price for it. He lost his eyesight. He lost all the glory that he had. But what happened is, when he repented, oh, God gave him the strength again. God restored him again. How did God restore again? You can see in the 30th verse, you can see, then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were on it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than that he killed in his life. So during the death, on the death, or so the death that he killed, so he killed more people when he was about to die than when he was alive. How did this occur? As God had mercy on Samson. God accepted Samson, you can see. Even though Samson had faltered, even though Samson had gone away from God's presence, even though Samson lost his strength, God did not push him away, you can see. When you repent, God is not a God who will turn away from you. God is a God who will relent and come and heal you, you can see. Today also, that is what I'm coming to say. Yes, there are consequences for our sins. Samson had to pay a price. David had to pay a price for our sins. For their sins they had to pay. But what you can see a God who answers their prayers, you can see. That is why I said, when you repent, you will get grace from Jesus. You will, when you turn away from your sin, and you will become more like Jesus. Do you want to become more like Jesus? Do you want to have more Jesus in your life? You have to turn away from your sin. You have to repent of your sin. You should have a heart that is a heart of repentance. It is not possible for you to lead a perfect life. But when you falter, that doesn't mean that you can always sin also. Do not, that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. Do not take it as a guarantee that you can sin. But as a result, but instead of being in the being sinned and going away from God, what you should do is ask the Lord Jesus Christ the repentance, and what he would do, he will give you grace and you become more like him, we can see. The second thing what I would like to say is a heart of obedience and appreciation. When we as Christians often don't appreciate many things in our life, because our heart may become cold when we are used to the same routine in our life. Let me give you an instance. For instance, if you are eating every day, just imagine you're eating every day biryani. Biryani will not be a good food for you. It'll taste ordinary. After a period of time, if you are eating it for 30 days, maybe you at the 20th day, you will hate biryani. You will say, I don't want it. So what happens similarly in our Christian life, we take things for granted. We don't appreciate things. But here I'm going to, but what does God expects us to do? God expects us to have a heart of obedience and appreciation. Let us turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Here you can see there is an instance. Here there were, the instance is, there were 10 men who were lepers, and they were standing afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was when they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, the 15th verse says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So here you can see there were 10 people who were lepers. If you read Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, it will give you a clear picture where what a person has to do if he's a leper. A leper is a person who's considered as an outcast. A leper is a person who was ridiculed, who was mocked, who was humiliated in the society. So these 10 people were there. But what did the 10 people, when they cried out, Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. And when they were on their way, what happened? They were healed. They were cleansed. But only one person decided to come back. Only one person. And what he did? What did he do? He was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. Why did he glorify God so much? Because he knew the pain of being an outcast. He knew the pain of being ridiculed. He knew the pain of being mocked. He knew the pain of suffering. And what he, when he saw this, he decided that he had to come back. Many people, there were 9 other people who were healed too. And what did they do? They saw their healing and they went away. They said, oh, praise God. They would have said praise to God, but they didn't bother to come back. They didn't bother to give praise to God. They didn't give, they were just living in that present situation, in that present condition. They were happy to live. They were thinking, oh, I'm happy, I'm healed. Let me go back to my home. Let me carry on with your with my work. But this one person remembered his past life. When he remembered his past life, he couldn't be without coming back. When you remember your past life, you cannot be without praising God. When you remember how you were a sinner, how much sins you have done, how much worthy you were for death, you can know that you will automatically praise God. That is why you can see, that is why Jesus himself said in one instance, oh, people who have sinned more, people who have done more things, have come become more stronger Christians or more stronger in the faith because they knew the gravity of the situation. That is why we can see even people who are used by God are more from outside the traditional Christian background. Why? Because they know the gravity of the situation, how that God delivered them from their sin, how God brought them out of that, and how God can use them. They trust God more than traditional Christians, more than traditional Pentecostals too. Similarly, here you can see this man knew that Jesus gave him a new life. Today also, can you realize that Jesus has given you a new life? When you remember the past, how you were condemned to sin, how you had to be, you were destined to destruction. If Jesus had not saved you, what would our lives would have been? If you think about it, you would automatically praise God. You will have a heart of appreciation. You will have a heart of thanksgiving. You will have a heart to praise the Lord all always. No need to say, no need to push you saying, oh, praise God. No need to say, pray to God. No needs anybody to push you. But automatically, you will remember when you look back at the past life. Today, just look back at your past life. This man, this leper, he looked back at his past life. He, when he turned back, he remembered how people forsook him, how people did not even want to communicate with him, how people would turn away their heads from him. But now he was so happy and overjoyed that he came and fell at the presence of Jesus. He glorified God. And what happened is, Jesus is saying there, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And then he said to them, arise, 19th verse, Jesus said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So what did Jesus said? Jesus confirmed his healing. So what happens when you appreciate God? When you give thanks to God, or when you appreciate what God has given in your life, you will submit more to God. Here you can see the leper submitted more to God. When you submit more to God, your commitment to God will increase in other ways. So if you appreciate what God has given, automatically your commitment to God will increase. A heart of appreciation will increase the commitment you have for God. Why are we not committed to God? It's because we don't give thanks to God. We don't appreciate what God has done in our life. So today the Holy Spirit is reminding us that we should appreciate what God has done in our life. When we appreciate, automatically we will submit more to God and we will increase our commitment to God. Let me give you another illustration. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. You can see there is one about a person. He was an army general there. He was a man who was very famous, who God gave him many victories. His name was Naaman. And what did Naaman do is, he was a mighty man of valor, a mighty man where God used for many victories. But what happened was, he was a man with leprosy. He was a leper, the Bible says. But when Naaman found out that there is going to be healing in Israel, the king of Israel sent him, the king of Israel, he was sent to the king of Israel. And what did Israel, the king said, how can I heal this? And the problem was escalated, or Elisha took on the problem. So what you can see here is, in the 10th verse, I'll be fast because the time is running fast. The 10th verse, it says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, 9th verse, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. So here you can see Naaman came to Elisha because Elisha said to the king of Israel, send him to me. So here when he comes, Elisha, instead of going outside, just gave him a commandment, go and wash in the Jordan and you will be clean. So here when he heard that, Naaman became really furious. You can see in the 12th verse he says, are not the Abna and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. So here he is angry because he did not expect such a thing. But what happened in the life of Naaman is, people convinced him. He to go and wash himself in the river Jordan. Here you can see that Naaman, even though the rivers of Damascus were much cleaner than Jordan River, because Elisha said that you have to wash there, that was the healing which God had kept in place for Naaman. In other words, what God wanted Naaman to do was, he had to wash himself in the river of Jordan. So what you can learn from here is, You can learn that when you obey the voice of God, only then you will get healing in your life. A heart of, that's why I said a heart of obedience and appreciation, I said. Only when you obey that, even in the first instance, I didn't touch it, but you can see the 10 lepers, Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. And when they went their way, they were healed, you can see. So they obeyed what God wanted them to do. Here also, Naaman, if he had said, oh, the rivers of Damascus are better, let me go to the rivers of Damascus, his life, he wouldn't have been healed. But for his healing, he had to obey the voice of Elisha. Today also, when God speaks to you, you have to obey the voice of God. When God, only when you obey the voice of God in your life, there will be healing in your life. There will be deliverance in your life. Without heeding to the voice of God, if you go on, there is not going to be a deliverance or a healing. If Naaman had said, oh, let me go to Damascus, let me go and wash myself in a better river, or let me do things which are contrary to the voice of the Elisha, he wouldn't have been healed, you can see. So here you can see that obedience was also great, you can see. And what happened was, when he did that, in the 14th verse you can say, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And what he did is, he did not go back. He did not say, oh, I'm healed. But he returned to the man of God. He was ready to give Elisha a gift there. He was ready to submit himself. You can also see there in the 18th verse, in the 18th and 19th verse, you can 18th verse, you can see. He's asking, oh, in 17th and 18th, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other god but to the Lord. So here he is appreciating and he's submitting himself to the living God, you can see. That's what God expects. When you obey and God delivers you, and when you appreciate, what will happen is you will submit yourself to God. There will be an increased commitment in your life. Here you can see Naaman committed himself, saying that he will serve the only living God. But he also asked, when his master goes to the temple of Rimmon and worship, and he was forced to do that, he asked that he would be pardoned. And What did Elisha say? Go in peace. And then he went. I'm not going to the other part of the story about Gehazi. But what I'm saying is, if you have a heart of obedience and appreciation, you will submit more to God. And as a result, your commitment to God will increase. Why are we struggling with commitments to God? It's because we don't have a heart to obey God. We don't have a heart to appreciate what God has given in our life. Let me say one more point, one more thing, and I will conclude, because this is the message. If you had heard on Friday, this was a point which Pastor spoke. Psalm 34 verse 18 is a heart of brokenness, you can see. In Psalm 34, 18, you say, it reads like this, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. God never forsakes a broken heart. A broken heart always needs mending, but God rebuilds it. I'm not going to touch much on this because Pastor spoke on these things, but you can see, yes, if you are having a heart which is broken, he is a God who is able to restore it. When you see the blind man, when he cried out to God, oh, son of Jesus, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. You can see God restored his sight. When Hannah cried out to God, she was barren, but she cried out to the Lord. But the Lord did not forsake her. God made that which was broken. God restored and God gave things to her. That's what you can see. Your brokenness will lead to God's restoration. Let me conclude with coming back to the original verse, which says, Matthew chapter 15 verse 9 says like this, In vain they worship me, teaching as a doctrines, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In vain you don't want to worship God. You don't want to worship God using your own mind, using your own doctrines, or twisting the word of God. But you want to worship God with a sincere heart. That is why the 13th verse says like this: every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. So we have been planted by God in our lives. We have been planted in His kingdom. But what does God expect us from today? God doesn't expect us actions without a good heart. God expects us to have a heart of repentance. Let me just conclude saying all the main points here. God expects a heart of repentance. When you repent, God's grace will increase in your life. And as a result, when God's grace increases in your life, you will become more like His image. When you have a heart of obedience and you have a heart of appreciation, what will happen is you will submit to God. And as a result, you will have increased commitment to God. When you have a broken heart, He's a God who will restore you. Today, saying these things, let us have a right heart before God. And with the right heart, let our actions speak out. With this heart, when we do the actions, God will be glorified, God will be magnified, and our life will be a great blessing. So let us commit ourselves. Let us ask God to give us a heart that God accepts. So saying this, let us commit ourselves into the presence of God.